What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing a huge trade that the Wizards just made. Apologies, my hair's a little messed up. I had to run off the beach on this beautiful July 4th weekend because Cam Whitmore is now Washington Wizard, a guy that when the Wizards owned the, at the time, eighth pick, actually, in the 2023 NBA draft. They eventually traded up to take Bilal Coulibaly, but Cam Whitmore was a guy that the Wizards were looking at. Wizards fans certainly really liked. He ended up falling pretty far in the pre-draft process. At the draft, was taken 20th by Houston, and the Wizards are able to get Whitmore, who's about, I believe, a week away from turning 21, so still 20, but technically 21. And the Wizards get it done for only a pair of seconds that aren't their own, that are seconds that they acquired from other smart trades, and I'll dive into that a little more in a second. But what are the Wizards getting in Cam Whitmore? You know, I'm going to call him 21 because he's basically, you know, 21. He'll be 21, I believe, in about 7 days or something like that. But he's a player that has shown an ability to knock down the three ball. I mean, 35% from three isn't going to jump off the charts, but in a start right near the end of the season for Houston, he dropped 30 plus points on 7 of 12 from 3. Again, a guy that clearly, as a starter, you know, averaged 25 points and 8 rebounds on 70% true shooting. You know, he only had 3 starts, so it's a small sample size. But when given the minutes on that Houston team, he showed up, he showed out. Now, there obviously are concerns. I've read reports, and these are all just reports, but you know, you got to say, well, you know, if he has so much upside and potential, why did he fall in the draft? And why are the Rockets trading him for only a pair of second round picks? And I understand that. Some Rockets fans and some reports have said that he might have been, you know, causing some issues in the locker room. There were reports that he was frustrated with his playing time, and rightfully so. You know, he's a guy that can play. But Houston's just so good, so deep, that they weren't even playing their third overall pick last year in Reed Sheppard. So certainly, you know, hasn't been able to crack that rotation as much as he would have liked to. But now on Washington, he has the chance to possibly start, to certainly get 20-plus minutes per game, and has the opportunity to grow alongside some of the other draft picks that the Wizards have. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable that the Wizards now have 9 first-round picks from the previous 3 NBA drafts. You look at 2023, they have Bilal Coulibaly, who they traded up for and took at number 7. And they also have Cam Whitmore now, who was selected at number 20. 2024, they took Alex Saar at number 2, Bub Carrington at number 14, AJ Johnson 23rd, Keyshawn George 24th, and now Dylan Jones after that trade, 26th pick. And then if you look at this past year, Trey Johnson at 6, Will Riley at 21. You know, and the Wizards only owned 3 of those picks. You know, it was Saar with their own pick. The year before that, it was Coulibaly with their own pick. And now, this past year, it's Trey Johnson with their own pick. The other picks have been acquired through smart, calculated decisions from Will Dawkins. You know, to have 9 first-round picks from the past 3 drafts is an unbelievable feat of its, you know, on its own. But considering that the Wizards only had 3 of those picks and had to trade, make smart trades for the other 6 to obtain the draft pick and then draft the player, or to obtain the player that was drafted there after the fact. But they're able to take these high upside swings because they're making these calculated trades. And you would think, you know, they had Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, and Kristaps Porzingis. They should have all of those first round picks. They got 0 first round picks from either of those guys. And yet they're sat here with 9 first-round picks from the past 3 drafts. Like that's just in a you know, small sample size, just shows how good Will Dawkins has been, how far the Wizards have come, you know, from a team with not too many assets to a team with all of these young, up-and-coming, talented individuals. And not all of them are going to hit, but some of them should. And that is the point of accumulating all of these players. But nonetheless, I want to talk more about the trade. Cam Whitmore is a high upside wing. I believe he's 6'7", 6'8", strong build, a guy that's athletic enough to finish around the rim, you know, with crafty finishes, can dunk on people, has shown an ability to play through contact. The shot was a bit, you know, of a question mark coming out of college. But again, 35% from 3 isn't terrible. Like I mentioned, against the Lakers in the second to last game, shot 7 of 12. So he's had, you know, spurts where he shows he's a capable three-point shooter. You know, just another solid wing acquisition for the Wizards here. You know, certainly really like the move. This is a move I feel like that's been talked about. When I saw the Shams notification, I just tweeted like, wow, they actually did it. Because this is, you know, something in Wizards Twitter circles and Wizards fandom circles that has been talked about and circulated and discussed, honestly, ever since Whitmore didn't play too much in his rookie year. And Wizards fans, you know, Whitmore, obviously a DMV native, grew up in the DMV, attended Villanova, but certainly, you know, has ties to the area. So that's another cool story. But it was talked about a lot in the draft. He obviously fell. The Wizards end up taking Bilal over him. And it was talked about in trade circles because, you know, Houston, for all that they've done in the draft and how well they built that team, they built it so well that there's just not any type of playing time for Whitmore. And that doesn't mean that he's not good. That doesn't mean Reed Shepard's not good. They're just not better than the players that they currently have, which is saying something. And so reportedly, you had Shams, who I believe was the one that tweeted that Whitmore kind of worked with the Wizards on this move, or worked with the Rockets on this move to find him a pathway to Washington. I'm sure the Houston could have gotten a little bit more for Whitmore, but it seems that they just wanted him, you know, to clear the roster spot, to clear that cap hold, and to also obtain a few second round picks, or acquire a few second round picks for Whitmore. So it appears Houston probably gotten more, and it also shows that Whitmore clearly showed a desire to come here, whether it's because he likes the fact that he'll probably play a lot more, whether it's his ties to the DMV, wanting to come back home, whether it's just the fact that he, you know, really likes what Washington is building with this young team. He clearly showed some desire to come to Washington, which is saying something. But certainly a good move, and I want to break down the trade a bit. The Wizards, as The Athletic and Josh Robbins reported, Mike Scott reported as well, gave up a pair of second round picks in the process. A 2026 second round pick via Chicago and a 2029 second round pick via the Sacramento Kings. So it's again a 2026 second via Chicago, 2029 second via Sacramento. And I want to break down just how the Wizards acquired these picks, because they're not their own picks. They're picks from other teams. And then honestly, that makes the trade that much better, that they're basically giving up two additional seconds that weren't even their own. So basically not getting Cam Whitmore for free per se, but you get the gist. The Wizards in 2023, if you remember, got the 35th pick as part of the Kristaps Porzingis trade. They then traded back and moved the 35th pick to Chicago, who ended up taking Julian Phillips. He hasn't really panned out too well in the league. And in addition, the Wizards picked up a 2026 and 2027 second round picks from Chicago. The 2026 second rounder is one of the picks that they just sent to Houston for Cam Whitmore. And that's a great move in and of its own, even if they attach that plus their own pick. But the Wizards weren't done there. They also traded the 2029 Sacramento second round pick. So that pick was acquired pretty recently in the Jonas Valanciunas trade at the trade deadline this past season. So they signed Valanciunas to a cheap team-friendly three-year deal, use him as a nice mentor for Alex Sarr, and then trade him at the deadline for Cedi Sissoko, who they waived, and a pair of seconds, one being the 2029 second round pick they just traded Houston. So that's two second round picks that you basically got for nothing. They probably didn't like the value in 2023. They were still able to get Tristan Vukcevic at 42. So they traded back from 35 and got those 2 seconds, traded one for Whitmore. And Valanciunas wasn't a part of this future. They knew that. Valanciunas knew that. And they were still able to get a pair of seconds, one of which they were able to use here to get the pretty much 21-year-old Cam Whitmore entering year three, who still comes with tons of upside at that wing position. So just a really smart move from Dawkins here to buy low on a player that's not getting traded because he's not good, but he's getting traded simply for the most part because they don't have enough playing time. That's a good thing if you're Houston, and it's a good thing if you're Washington to be able to strike on a player like Whitmore. So, you know, seeing that it's only 2 second-round picks is great, but seeing how the Wizards acquired them, you know, makes the trade honestly a lot better to get Whitmore and his services. Now, that does mean, you know, another 6'7", 6'8", wing, that the Wizards have a lot of wings. A lot of the gifts under the Whitmore post, and even when they acquired Dylan Jones, was just like gifts of wing stop, which is funny, but it's kind of true. Like, they love their wings. The NBA is clearly shifted into a wing-centric era. And Will Dawkins knows that. He likes the lanky wing that can defend probably 1 through 4 and can play multiple positions, has positional versatility, defensive versatility, and switchability, has the ability to knock down the three, which Whitmore has. And so it's clear to see the vision with this team, at least. I don't care if you like or don't like the moves. At least you can admit that, like, the Wizards like wings. They like lengthy wings that can shoot and play multiple positions, defend multiple positions. And that's what they're acquiring, again, here in Whitmore. And the Wizards had a couple of decisions to make roster-wise before this move. But they still now have more decisions to make. As Keith Smith tweeted out, and I recommend following Keith on Twitter just because he's a cap guy. He knows everything and anything you need to know about the aprons and the luxury tax and everything. Taught me a lot. So I'd recommend following him. But he tweeted out that Washington's now at 16 standard contracts, and the Wizards and all NBA teams, I believe by opening night, need to be down to 15 standard deals, and you can have at most 3 2-way contracts. And the Wizards have a couple guys on Exhibit 10, which is basically, you know, summer league slash training camp deals, but they don't count towards that. But the Wizards have a lot of guys on standard deals. And honestly, a lot that I really don't consider to be bubble players or the guys that can get waived. You know, the only people that I really see here is a guy like Dylan Jones, again, not drafted by them. They traded for him, but that was more so, I believe, for the second round pick. That's a guy that maybe they could be able to waive and eat the $2.5 million he's due this year and then be done with Jones. And that's an easy fix, I guess. But they do have a lot of wings, you know, Chris Middleton, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Justin Champagne, Corey Kispert, Will Riley, and now Cam Whitmore. I believe that's 7 wings. And if you count Jameer Watkins as a wing, that's 8. I think he can be a guard or a wing. Dylan Jones, you know, I think he could play both. If you count him as a wing, that's 9. Other than that, I think you're getting real dicey with like any other guys like Bob, CJ McCollum, Trey Johnson, Marcus Smart, AJ Johnson. To me, those are pretty solidly guards, but I think they have 7 true wings. And if you count guys like Jameer Watkins and Dylan Jones as wings, which honestly, I probably would, that's 9. So like they're pretty deep there and there's not a lot of playing time to go around. But that shouldn't be the main concern here. The Wizards' main concern is acquiring talent. This is a really smart move and one that they had to simply make. Like, I don't care if you already had 8 wings on your team. Cam Whitmore joining your team is one of the better ones already. He's about to be 21, has a lot of upside as a scorer. You know, that's a good move that they just made. And I understand that they have a lot of wings and they don't have a lot of, you know, front court depth. That's understandable. That's okay. But they're in the phase of the rebuild where they're just trying to gather talent. Like it's going to be weird based on who gets playing time, you know, who pans out, who doesn't. But they just want as many chances as possible to have those players and develop those players and see what sticks. And that's another reason for this Whitmore trade is you have, you know, a plethora of seconds. I believe they still have 14 now after this move. You might as well trade 2 that aren't even your own seconds to get a guy like Whitmore. It's a really smart move. So again, another standard NBA contract, another guy on a standard deal does have to get moved, whether it's via trade or whether it's simply, you know, via a cut at some point. I think Dylan Jones is possible just because he wasn't drafted by this regime. Like, there's no way that they move on from any of the following: Bub Carrington, Trey Johnson, AJ Johnson, Jameer Watkins, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Will Riley, Cam Whitmore, Alex Saar. And again, then there's your veterans that I don't think they'll be able to move, like McCollum and Middleton. Nobody's taking back their $33 million salaries, at least I believe before the season. Same could be said for a guy like Kelly Olynyk. I think the Wizards would be smart in keeping him to maybe eat some minutes down low, you know, backing up Saar. Obviously, you know, with Rashawn Holmes, right, that's another guy that they could decide, you know what, we're just going to sit here and not guarantee your salary. Maybe that's the case, but then you're thin in the front court. So there's certainly some moves that need to be made. You know, some guys that have been discussed in trade rumors, certainly Marcus Smart and Corey Kispert. I think a lot of times, you know, the Wizards make a trade or make a move and all the Wizards fans simply their one thought is, okay, now we trade Kispert. Again, like Kispert's a great player, plays off 2 feet, best cutter on the team, high IQ, offensive player. When he's on, he's a great shooter, is not coming off a great shooting season. But again, I think Wizards fans are kind of undervaluing what Corey Kispert is. $13 million a year for the next 4 years. He's on a good contract. I think he has good trade value, especially if a contender is looking to space the floor and add someone that could be a great shooter for them. I just think that those rumors are just rumors. Like, it is possible another move does need to be made. And if it's a Corey Kispert trade, then it would prove all the Wizards Twitter right. I certainly think that it would make sense considering how deep they are at wing and how he, you know, Corey's the only draft pick now that wasn't drafted by this regime, wasn't drafted by Dawkins. He's the longest tenured Wizard with the fact that they're waiving Anthony Gill. So that's another move that can be made. You know, he's only at $13 million. He's one of the veterans, I guess, veterans on what's a really young team. You have Smart, who's going to be, I think, 31, maybe 32 this year. He's making $21.5 million on an expiring deal. You know, maybe a team is looking to add him. But again, I think if they wanted Smart, they maybe be looking to offload contracts with multiple years left. And you've seen the Wizards don't want to do that, right? Like, they want to keep their books open for 2026 and beyond. So I'm not sure if that's a move that they could make unless it's like expiring. And, you know, I don't necessarily know, but that would, again, be adding another contract. So there are certainly moves that can be made. Smart and Kispert are at the top of the rumor mill in terms of veterans that could be, you know, traded to open up some more roster space. You know, like I mentioned, Dylan Jones, not drafted by this regime, he's a possible candidate to be waived. Wouldn't hurt them too much. So there's certainly going to be a corresponding move. If you're asking me what that move is, I have no idea, but there will be moves to made. I think the main theme here is the Wizards continue to stockpile wings, of course. They continue to stockpile young talent. Again, this is another trade that they're making to bring in a draft pick. I'm sure that they liked AJ Johnson coming out of the draft. Obviously, weren't able to get him at 24. They were at 26 at the time, traded up to get Keyshawn George. But now they're in the business of acquiring some of those guys. AJ Johnson, obviously traded after the fact for Cam Whitmore, and Dylan Jones as well. And so then you have, you know, Bub Carrington, you traded Denny Avdia to get him and another first round pick. Keyshawn George was the Daniel Gaffer trade. That's worked out quite well for both sides. Will Riley was the trade to, you know, take back a bad salary in Marcus Smart, but also obviously get Memphis's pick, which turned out to be 18, traded back out Will Riley. And then you have your own three first round picks that you took with your own pick in Sarr, in Koulibaly, in Trey Johnson. So you're just continuing to stockpile talent. And that's another reason why I really like this Cam Whitmore move. It's a buy low move for sure. You know, 2 second round picks for the 20th pick 2 years ago, that's shown he can produce when given the minutes. You don't see that too often. And I think, you know, like I mentioned, the fact that he wanted to be in Washington, as Shams reported, the fact that he's from the area, the fact that Houston worked with him to find a partner that he wanted to go to, that certainly, I think, helped with how, you know, the value that they were able to get him with. But nonetheless, I just think it's such a good move for Washington. I've gotten some questions, you know, Greg, is Whitmore going to start? What's his role going to be? You know, I certainly don't think the Wizards make this move to not play him. And again, I don't think he'll play summer league. He dominated the Wizards, if you remember, last summer league, and certainly, you know, has shown that he can, you know, play very well there. I just, you know, I don't think Bilal will play, and their third year players, I don't see too much of in summer league, usually first and second year guys. So I don't know if he'll play summer league, but in terms of Whitmore's role, you know, will he start is a question that I got a lot. And I can't tell you right now if he's going to start. And I'm not a coach on the team and on the front office. I don't know for sure. But if you had to ask me, he's certainly got a case for it. They drafted Bilal. Like, I think Bilal will start. I think his ability to take away the best player on the team, or at least make it difficult for them, maybe gives him the edge over Whitmore. Obviously, the fact that he's homegrown could work in his benefit as well. But I think you'll see him start. You know, again, I'd assume it's CJ and Bub at the one and the two, with Bub playing point. And then you go into the fact that I think Middleton will just start because he's the best wing, I think, at this moment of the group of wings. And I can pretty confidently say that. And then you maybe have Whitmore at that other forward spot, but I still think it would go to Bilal. So I think he definitely has a case for it, but certainly as like a sixth, seventh man off the bench that can come in and score the ball, I think that'll be probably the role I would predict. Maybe he balls out in training camp and in the preseason and they decide to start him. That would be surprising to me, but certainly has a way bigger role here than he did in Houston. He wasn't even in the 9-10 man rotation there. So certainly I'm sure he's ecstatic about the move. The Wizards and the fan base realistically should be ecstatic about the move because it showcases that they're continuing to make these, you know, small low-key moves, cheap moves that, you know, we're getting a pretty promising player for only 2 seconds. And I don't want to overhype Whitmore. Like, it's not like this is a guy that's produced at every stage of his career. You know, this is a guy that's still young in year three and has a ways to go. So it's not like the Wizards are trading for a perennial all-star, but he certainly has the talent and upside as a player about to be 21 to be, you know, quite excited about, especially at the value in getting him a 2 second round pick. So again, a trade that Wizards fans have been, you know, talking and scheming about, I think ever since he slid in the draft, ever since he dominated them in summer league. But it's pretty crazy to see it come to fruition now and pretty crazy to see the value that the Wizards were able to get, you know. So certainly really like the move. I'm trying to go here and see if I missed anything. Obviously this is going to be a bit of a shorter pod, but yeah, I mean, realistically, you know, I could talk about his as a starter. This is from StatMuse. Whitmore, I think it might have been just 3 games. So again, small sample size, 20 points per game, 7 rebounds, 1 block on 54% from the field and 47% from three. So it's clear small sample size, but when he's given the minutes, he's able to produce efficiently at that. He's a solid rebounder for a player of his position and his size. So, you know, certainly understand the hype here. I understand some Rockets fans are like, he's not that good. But again, it's all about timing. It's all about role. It's all about fit. And I think in Washington, that's certainly a better fit than Houston, who's just simply too good to be able to give him any, you know, semblance of a real role in the 9-10-man rotation. So again, I'm a fan of the move. Buy low, high upside, wing in Whitmore, only entering year three. I think he can do good things in his native of Washington. So I'm excited about the move. I'm sure there's going to, like I said, be corresponding moves, whether that's a trade of a veteran like Kispert or Smart, whether they waive someone like Dylan Jones. But they have 16 standard deals. They're going to have to get to 15 at some point. It doesn't have to happen overnight. They still have plenty of time before that opening night sometime in October. But, you know, I would expect some other, you know, moves to be made. And I will mention as well, my guy Sean talked about this on Twitter. Troy Halliburton also talked about it. This could be part of a bigger deal. The new league year doesn't start until July 6th, which by the time I'm recording this is tomorrow. It's possible. I don't know if it could be part of that 7-team mega trade that we've seen will go official tomorrow on July 6th. But maybe they incorporated as part of the Jordan Poole trade. We saw this a couple years ago with the Bradley Beal deal, how, you know, the Wizards ended up trading up for Bilal Coulibaly, and that was somehow incorporated between Indiana, Phoenix, and Washington as part of a bigger trade. That is something we could see. The moves are going to be the same, but maybe based on like cap figures and whatever the case may be, maybe they work it into some other moves. But again, I really do like the smarts of this front office, you know. And I'll end on this. The fact that they have 9 first-round picks from the past 3 drafts is impressive. The fact that only 3 of them were what they started with and they were able to acquire the pick to draft where they wanted or after the fact to acquire the prospect with high upside, you know, a year or two after the fact, that is what good GMs do. And they got no picks for Beal, no first-round picks for Beal, no first for Porzingis, no first, which is their fault, for Kuzma. But they were able to turn it into these 9 picks with budding potential, and not all of them might hit the way that they hope, but a couple I would hope will, for the Wizards' sake, and the ability to do that from Will Dawkins, from Michael Winger, the ability to have that clear vision, it is great. And I think this move to get Cam Whitmore for just 2 seconds, of which you acquired making those smart moves and acquiring future assets at the deadline and during the draft, That is what they have to show for it. So certainly a lot of ways to go for this young team. A lot of upside, a lot of talent, a lot of wings. But the talent is the most important. And I think the Wizards, you know, got better today. I think they made a really good, smart move. And yeah, we'll see what Cam Whitmore is able to do as a Wizard. Certainly a bigger role than Houston. Should have a lot of room to grow and blossom and develop. And I think Wizards fans are excited to be along for the ride. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Again, if you like the trade, don't like the trade, if you think that some other moves are going to be made, you can always use the comments. I enjoy, you know, engaging with you guys down there. Sports been great on the pod, so appreciate that. Also, I will say this probably ends all of the Kuminga rumors. The Athletic updated their story basically saying that, yes, they've heard that the Wizards might be players in Kuminga, but they also, I believe, reached out to the Wizards. And some Wizards source, I guess, downplayed it or said that the Wizards weren't interested or weren't engaged in talks about Kuminga. So again, I think that probably shut it down, but this trade for Whitmore, I would certainly say shut it down. If they again traded for Kuminga at this point, I would be pretty shocked. So again, I just wanted to kind of say that after my last pod, the rumors, you know, obviously were there, but I think this trade after all of that probably shuts them down. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys always for listening and following along. Go Wiz.